This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
The NCAA hides under a table, hopes nobody notices all of the silence. We'll get to that in a second.
Why do we hide under a table? It seems like it's a pretty easy place to find someone if they're just hiding, merely hiding under a table.
You know? I think it comes from videos in the advent of television where it is that people in classrooms should hide, although that's hiding under a desk, which the NCAA can also be accused of doing right now. I believe those video routes are what you would do in the case of a nuclear apocalypse. And you're right when you say it. Hiding under a table is not going to do you any good. And the parallel works here as Lou Holtz talks about storming Normandy. The NCAA right now is absolutely hiding under a desk or a table as the apocalypse bursts out in all air, all places, and everyone is fighting. We'll get back to the anarchy of college sports, because rarely is the money laid this bare on the table. I'm telling you, Stugatz, the stuff that's happening right now can't be unseen. Like, this stuff will stick to Manfred. The greed on it will stick to Manfred. What's happening in college football, you will not be able to unsee the idea that, yeah, you thought the SEC was mercenary, but now you know the SEC is mercenary. Like, it should be, the E should be for expendable bodies. Like, it should be for expendable or disposable, you know, because what's happening here, that doesn't really work, disposable, but you understand what I mean.
That would make it the SDC.
Which doesn't feel as good or as strong in any way, and yet I think we all agree that as long as the SEC plays football, it'll feel like a full college football season. The SDC playing that doesn't feel the same.
Also, expendable bodies also changes the name of the conference.
You're absolutely right. It does. My
the construct of what you were trying to say was flawed from the get.
It really was. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And I should have postponed it toward later in the show like I intended, but I got caught up in the air. It's a social issue. All of a sudden, it's amazing. Because you know how I gravitate toward the anarchy at every point.
I'm still trying to recover from your Big 12 defense joke in regards to social distancing.
I texted Mike last night, what a dad joke I threw in the middle of the show there with the Big 12 conference will be safe on defense no matter how much they play because of all the social distance that there always is between the defenders. Put it on the poll, Tony, at Levitard Show.
That joke get longer?
A good joke or not a good joke? The Big 12 on defense socially distances. A good joke or bad joke? But we've got conflicting opinions here, and much like First Take, we've got to foment argument. And I feel like, and I don't know who else has seen it from Tony and Stugatz and Roy, but Mike and Chris have both seen Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks return to HBO. HBO does everything well. Were both episodes last night? Was it both the Raiders and the Chargers?
Well, it's the Rams and the Chargers, fine, and they're not highlighted in different episodes, Dan. Each episode focuses on both teams, a historic first for the Hard Knocks franchise.
And how did you feel about it, having watched it?
I loved it. I loved it because, look, from the jump, two teams being covered in Hard Knocks, obviously better than one, because I think one of the problems with certain Hard Knocks seasons is they may be forced storylines. It might get a little slow in periods. Now you have two teams to choose from. So you're getting the best cut from each side because you have to fill out an hour of programming, and now you have two teams to shoulder that content burden. Also, to do this during a pandemic, to be able to actually see the protocols rather than just have them reported on in a tweet you saw is fascinating. It makes it unlike any other Hard Knocks.
That actually is something that I would be interested in as you see what's happening in college football. As Dabo says, Stugatz, that there is no question that these players are safer under our rules and rigidities than they would be elsewhere.
They had 37 positives a couple weeks ago.
Yes, but he is claiming that there's no question they're safer. Nick Saban is claiming there's no question they're safer. I'm not even here to argue with that, but the part that I find interesting about the layers of finance here is that some schools will be able to afford these protocols and some schools will not be able to afford these protocols.
By the way, the counter argument to me saying that they had 37 positives is, wait, that's all intake. Once we get them within our structure, they're all clean because they have the antibodies because they all had it.
Yeah, that's first of all, there is no proof. You can get it a second time. That is,
yes, people have had positives multiple times. There are certain baseball players that can shake negative tests, even though they felt totally asymptomatic and they had their first positive result 2 months ago. It's we're still learning about it. It's very confusing.
Okay, and so while I don't want to sit here and talk about the argument of whether or not Dabo and Nick Saban are right, that if you totally limit the freedom of players by putting them under the dictator coaches, that those coaches can indeed keep them safe. Let's not argue that for the moment. I am just interested, as someone, Stugatz, Disney's a big company. We're all learning about this as we go through this. Mike Ryan and I and you, before you were quarantined, have been coming into a totally abandoned hotel, a hotel that is abandoned entirely. It used to have a temperature checker out front, but that guy has fled the premises. So
thankfully, we take our own temperature, Dan.
That's right.
Well, he's still not back. That guy's not back yet.
You haven't been back, so you wouldn't know that. And there's a lock on that door, so when I tried to get in there while using my shirt around my hand, and that's usually my knee that I'm using these days, but as I put my hand in there, I just started jostling it, and it was locked, and I'm like, oh, look. The apocalypse is such that the temperature guy is gone now. And, you know, we got a couple of hand sanitizers that Disney sent us and some sort of machine that smells bad that I'm afraid to go to because I feel like it has the coronavirus in it.
Don't forget about the placards that tell you on the floor exactly where you should stand.
I can't wait to return in a week.
But, Chris, that part had to be interesting to you, even if you didn't like Hard Knocks, seeing the lengths that a professional football team with all the money in the world has to go to in order to make sure to keep its players safe.
Well, that's all we got. We got an hour infomercial about how safe the NFL is making it, which I'm going to give them one episode. They just need to set the table that they're going to be really safe. If I see any more B-roll of a hand sanitizer, though, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm telling you, this is just an hour straight of them telling you how clean it was going to be. They didn't set any storylines of a guy they're going to cut 4 episodes from now. I didn't get the opening scene. The opening scene of Hard Knocks is like historic. You wait for it every year. It's like Christmas morning where you wait to see how they're going to start it with the music coming in at the end of it. But this was just Anthony Lynn talking into a Zoom camera.
Oh, no. This is a very Stugatz take from you. Okay, I'm sorry you're already sick of watching the NFL deal with a pandemic for the first time in its history. Sorry that got boring for you 40 minutes in. And they already laid the groundwork for players getting cut. And you saw one player get cut. And he went to Anthony Lynn saying, what the bleep are you doing? You're making a huge mistake.
Wait, but Mike, you're willing to give them a pass, the NFL, because you're allowing them that first episode where they're basically showing you, hey, we could do this even with a world pandemic going on. You're giving them a break and assuming it will get back to a more traditional Hard Knock.
Chris is extending that. That's Chris's take. I'm happy seeing all these protocols because I had so many questions about how it worked and how you executed and how painful it is to get the test. I learned a lot watching.
But you want a whole season of that? Like, I got it. After 20 minutes, I get it. Before they enter every room, they're going to get their temperature checked. They're going to sanitize. Like, I didn't need it. Like, it was all we got was them, like, every meeting that they were having about, oh, we got to separate. Oh, you guys are sitting too close. Like, we get it.
But position meetings are fascinating over Zoom, and you see all the technical difficulties that they have where someone's voice gets super echoey. I always wondered, all the same Zoom mistakes that pop up when we do the show, that's got to happen in positional meetings, right? And Sean McVay out there trying to teach people offense without the ability to actually throw the ball because it breaks some sort of protocol. It was fascinating.
Now, Chris, I think you got to give them an episode to establish that and show that. I don't think they'll continue to show it throughout the entire season. I didn't watch last night. I'll watch it today. I was busy watching Barry Trotz and those boys get it done for the Islanders. How about that?
Well, from the sound of your voice, you were busy eating entire cigarette machines. Yeah. Like, it is unbelievable. I believe that you have consumed an entire Marlboro factory. It is your voice sounds so bad this first segment.
Yeah, that is me screaming for my Islanders and Barry Trotz. Let's go, Islanders. Bump, 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 bump. That's what you heard last night coming out of my house. Out of the aisles. One of the lead.
Complete negative Nancy. There were some bright spots. We got shirtless McVay in a pool. We got to see his view. Man, what a spot he has in L.A. So there were a couple bright spots, but overall I was disappointed.
Also, McVay would totally crush it on Monday Night Football. Totally. He is as likable as I thought he would be headed into this. That dude loves football, though.
And he's got some Marty Smith in him where his hair is always perfect. Like, you never see McVay. He wakes up with his hair just mwah.
Tony, put it on the poll. Does the song Tainted Love hold up at Le Batard Show? The song that Mike Ryan just played coming in. But we're of a certain age, Stugatz. Not everybody, not everybody's going to agree with that. Yes, you and I, people of a certain age, will say that that song holds up. But we're always surprised by what young people say to these things. So at Le Batard Show is where you vote. TJ Warren is going to join us on the show today. What are you looking forward to about that? Just playing the sound where I disrespect him for him so that he can make fun of me and treat me the way Damian Lillard is treating Skip Bayless right now?
Yep, that's about it. Looking forward to that.
Why do you sound so bad, Stugatz? Like, honest to God, it's distracting.
What do you mean? I sound great. What are you talking about? I have no idea.
You sound sick,
dude. Yeah, you sound
bad. You sound like as bad. You sound like every thought you're having is soaked in some sort of mucus.
I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, the throat feels fine. I screamed a little bit because I was watching some playoff hockey yesterday, but my throat feels fine. I feel fine.
You were shouting earlier. I heard your phlegm-soaked shouts of more Zach Greinke, please. Why are you spending your morning shouting more Zach Greinke, please?
Well, I love what Zach Greinke, who pitches for the Astros, did last night. And what he did was he was barking. He was telling players, batters, hey, here's what's coming. Hit it. And I think the Astros should do that for the remainder of the season. Hey, you think it's so easy to know what's coming and you can just hit it out of the park? Okay, here's what's coming. Hit it out of the park. I want to see more of that. I think the Astros should do that for an entire season.
I agree. I think they should do that for the remainder of the
One of my favorite things with Stugatz, the remainder of the
Why like, you just
stop the thought.
The
you got it because he doesn't want me cutting in and taking the microphone from him. So if he stops the word in an unpredictable place, he could just keep it moving and press the gas so he could get his hot take out there. What do you mean you don't understand?
I'm a little annoyed with how good Stugatz thinks he's been so far.
Wait a minute. You say that, but the perpetual tension that I have with Greg Cody, and I don't know how many of you experience this the way Dominique Foxworth does. I don't think many of you do, but Dominique Foxworth, based on Cody's Tuesday appearance, has texted me the following. And this is an actual exchange that just happened, not only on my text, but wait till I tell you what happened when I read it to Chris Cody, his son. The text from Dominique Foxworth is, I hate Greg Cody. Wait. He expects more respect with no work. And he doesn't understand that he's not interesting. And you all make fun of him in order to make him fit for your radio show. His qualifications are being your friend. He is the epitome of privilege. I read that to Chris Cody during the break. Chris Cody said, Dominique has sent that to me, too.
Word for word.
Pay that man his money.
It is a constant exasperation. If we let you just look a little peek
behind the curtain at the formula, you will find that I always lose the fights as the straight man to Stugatz and Greg Cody and Poppy, people who do this formulaically awful, allowing us to all profit from it while I'm always the bleep hole.
Thank you.
Advance Auto Parts, you're welcome, America. From the bleep hole, you're welcome. It's its own economy, that formula. Just have everyone next to you be terrible. You get strident and angry about it. Boom. Media empire.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Here's your SportsCenter update. The Cowboys have signed Everson Griffin to a one-year deal that's worth $6 million, $3 million in base salary, $3 million in roster bonuses. A group of U.S. senators on Thursday morning released a list of items they see as important rights belonging to college athletes that they hope to soon protect or enforce with federal laws called the College Athletes Bill of Rights. And finally, a German circus that has been closed for months due to the COVID-19 pandemic is making some extra money by selling lion poop. The Krone Circus said it is selling jars filled with big cat droppings, which officials, said can be spread in a home garden to keep pets and wild animals from damaging plants. The circus said customers could visit the pop-up store during special business hours Monday through Friday, and the jars of lion feces can also be purchased for shipment online.
Stugatz, have you been drinking?
What do you mean?
Have you been drinking this morning?
It was a very obvious like slurring of words there.
No.
Are you okay? Are you having a seizure?
Yeah, fine. Why?
Okay, because it sounded like you were electrocuted in the middle of that. The tasered. Oh, okay. Are you okay? All right, you're not drinking. Everything's fine.
I don't know. He seems pretty chill to me. A little too chill.
Yeah, fine. Why? I don't know what to tell you guys.
A little too chill. Sounding a little phlegmy. I don't know.
Did you go for a stroll this morning?
I'm still trying to put this one together.
Perhaps. The circus erected a large sculpture dubbed Mr. Pooh outside the business to celebrate the new venture. Pop-up store. Poop. Poop up. Today on ESPN Daily, Daniel Cormier squares off this weekend for the UFC heavyweight title.
Protect that right side, Cormier. Protect that right side.
Thanks, Bert. After a rocky career, can the aging fighter cement his legacy? That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Tony, please put this on the poll. This is from a tweeter. Should the SEC change its name to Some Expendable Children? Should the SEC now go
you
by
found it.
Some Expendable Children?
That's so much better.
I found, and so much worse. I have a quote here, Stugatz, that I believe I'm being fooled by the internet on, okay? I need somebody to authenticate this code because I simply don't believe that the quote I'm about to read to you is real. Okay. But I'm going to read it anyway, and we will figure out on the back end if this is a real thing that was said by a real human being.
All
okay?
right. Love
but
this kid.
In the conversation about the canceled football season, okay, UMass coach Walt Bell says, allegedly, reportedly, I do not believe it, quote, you know, my dad passed away in 2008. My biological mom OD'd in 2012. And to be honest with you, this is probably a tougher day than both of those days. End quote. Your thoughts there, because I have one immediate thought that jumps out to me above all others, beyond even like, holy bleep, is that a lack of perspective or sound like a lack of perspective? Your thoughts here, Stugatz, as you hear that quote.
he got caught up in the moment. There is no way he feels like that, that this day was worse than the day of the death of his mom and his dad. There is no way. He's caught up in the moment. He's caught up in the emotion. He wants a college football season so badly. He's going to regret saying that if he doesn't already regret saying that. That would be my guess as to what happened there.
All right. What it makes me wonder, okay, let's just say it's not a staggering lack of perspective. Let's say there are some mitigating circumstances, and perhaps he wasn't that close to his family, so the death of his parents isn't something that affected him the way the death of a football season has. The thing that jumped out at me beyond all other things, though, is UMass? UMass? When did UMass play an important football game? Chris, look up UMass's season-by-season record year. Like, what were they last year? 1-11? Like, what the hell is this man talking about? UMass has not... Like, you thought things were bad at Colorado State, Stugatz, where they abused the players in all sorts of ways, reportedly, for a nowhere program that has never played a meaningful down. But Colorado State is Alabama compared to UMass. Like, how is this the perspective of the UMass coach?
They were 1-11 last season.
What about before that?
Oh, you nailed it.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm an expert on UMass football. 1-11. First of all, smoke out the one and tell us who we should shame there, who kept us from a UMass 0-12 season being more important to this guy than the death of his parents.
That is the third 1-11 season they've had since 2011. I mean,
all right, give it to me year by year. I want to read the quote again, and then I just want you to give it to me year by year here. This was not planned out. Have we found out, Mike, whether this is a real quote? Because I get fooled by the internet all the time, and this is how you would do it if you were running The Onion. You would go to a program like UMass that exists only to get trampled by others. UMass exists to play college football and simply lose. They are the Washington Generals of college football. So UMass coach Walt Bell on the canceled football season. Quote, my dad passed away in 2008. My biological mom OD'd in 2012. And to be honest with you, this is probably a tougher day than both of those days. So go ahead. Last year, the Minutemen were 1-11.
Real quote from The Athletic.
All right, it is a real quote from The Athletic. Unbelievable. The year before that, what were they?
They were 4-8.
The year before that, what were they?
4-8.
The year before that, what were they?
2-10.
The year before that?
They had back-to-back 3-9 seasons in 14-15.
Before that?
Back-to-back 1-11 seasons in 2012, 2013.
All right, so now I'm going to read this quote to you again, and I don't know, my math is bad, but I think the best seasons they've had this decade, they've won, let's see, a third of their games. That's the best seasons that they have had, the four win seasons, but my dad passed away in 2008, biological mom OD'd in 2012, and to be honest with you, this is probably a tougher day than both of those days. When is the last time UMass, and are they indeed the Minutemen also in football? They are... Because I don't know if they have one of those strange deals where nobody wants to be associated with this particular program, so they have a different nickname. When is the last time they had a winning season?
It looks like 2010. They put together a big 6-5 season.
They are indeed the Minutemen.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. This is staggering. I can't believe that this quote is coming out of the mouth of this man.
The team that they beat last season was Akron.
All right. Tell me more about Akron, please. And
I think their head coach's name is Tom Arth.
Okay, Tom Arth. You should be ashamed of yourself. We're publicly smoking you out for denying.
How do I know who Akron's football coach is? You know the answer.
Hold on.
I mean, this is just unbelievable.
Hold on, Stugatz. Just backtrack for just a second. Mike, the segment started with Stugatz not being anywhere in the camera frame. And was the first sound we heard on the air really His hairy ass hitting the chair there with a thud. Was that the first sound of this segment as he sort of rolled into the shot to do his job poorly?
He was out of the frame, and yes, he has a bit of a whoopee cushion effect in his office chair, so the first sound was something replicating a fart. I don't think he's muted his computer screen, playing total defense here. This, just minutes after he called me on the phone to assure me he's totally fine. He doesn't know what we're talking about.
Right. He is not drunk. He is not high. He is just simply incompetent.
So, guys, I'm begging you right now, please mute your computer screen because we're getting an echo effect.
Can you also please, Mike, while we are at this, would you do me the favor of seeing if you can isolate the sound at the beginning of this segment so that people can hear for themselves the sound of Stugatz landing in his chair with a thud that made us all think that he was gassy. I would like to hear that again. So, Stugatz, feel free to read, plug yourself in whenever you're ready. Don't let us.
Hey, what do you want me to do? I'm having issues here technically.
Your job.
I don't know what to tell you.
Your job.
I mean, I can't hear anything. What do you want from me?
I find it very hard to believe that you can't hear anything, considering I can hear the speakers from your microphone.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Check out ESPN Audio at home by telling Alexa to play ESPN News from ESPN. ESPN Audio at home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything.
Are you aware, Stugatz, and I don't know how much of this I'm allowed to say because I just got an email from Roy this morning, but are you aware that in general, the unprofessionalism associated with this show, like the unprofessionalism you just displayed, while vital to everything we do and always a content producer and part of our formula, you know ESPN is trying to eradicate that, right? That on August 17th, ESPN is going to be professional. It's going to be Greeny, professional broadcaster. Kellerman, professional broadcaster. ESPN is going to a homogenized thing on ESPN Radio. You do realize they're trying to eradicate that kind of unprofessionalism, which by extension is also, and I'm sorry to break this to you if you hadn't considered it, also trying to eradicate you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I get that. Thank you for the encouragement and the encouraging words. I appreciate it. Luckily, I have 2 years left of my contract. I mean, so.
Okay. Well, there is that. I'm just, yeah. And I need it. Like, trust me, like, I need you reading everything. At this point, we love your misread things. They've put things in the, look at him. He's wrapped up in his headset. He's all tangled in the wires.
He's very clearly just following the show along in the Zoom at this point because he's not wearing his headphones. And yeah, the foundation has been laid to remove what just happened from our show because I got an email a couple of days ago suggesting that our updates aren't up to the production quality that ESPN has established over these decades as the leader in the industry. And it's hard to buck against that at this point, quite honestly.
It's been particularly bad lately. I will not say that I agree with ESPN because I love the content that forever spills out of Stugatz because of that incompetence. I have rooted all my life for Stugatz to never get better, and it's one of the great gifts and prayers that's been answered for me because everyone being terrible allows me to rail and run around, and it's only been a part of American comedy since Laurel and Hardy, the fat guy chasing around the court jester that everyone loves. Like, what age is Laurel and Hardy? Because was Abbott and Costello also fat guy? Penn and Teller, is it always fat guy chasing around skinny jester and the public sides with the jester? It is it's formulaic American comedy, and ESPN doesn't want it. They want more Mike Greenberg, the professionalism you get from Greeny. They want more Greeny, less Weeny.
Laurel and Hardy had an amazing run, 1927 to 1955.
That's a good run.
I have Stugatz's chair farting if you want it.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let's build up to that. I'm very excited about this. You've got a giant smile on your face. Let me set it up again real quick. And also, I just saw this, my brother. I want to talk to Mike about this because he's been on paternity leave and I haven't gotten to talk to him. But that fight with Dana White that I'm supposed to have, my brother just made some really cool fight posters, LeboArt.com. I just saw a fight poster he put up there. Evidently, I'm fighting under the name Frito Ortiz. We will get to Mike Ryan's update. I'm hoping he has one in paternity. But if you're just joining us, Stugatz has been incompetent. ESPN Radio next week on Monday becomes much more professional. A radio lineup that has no room for the jester's incompetent antics. The sports reads are being taken away from Stugatz. Here is Stugatz reacting to that in real time by being late to this segment, not being ready for this segment. And the first sound you heard on air was him launching himself, hairy ass first, plumber's butt on display into the chair. Why would they want to replace that? That's comedy genius right there!